This morning, as we come to God's Word, I want to think upon this morning the subject titled At the Saviour's Feet. At the Saviour's Feet. And I want to look at three times this morning in the Scriptures where we see people gather at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to see this morning three great lessons, I trust, that they found there and that we can apply to our walk with the Lord. So we'll start with Matthew chapter 15, please. Matthew chapter 15, and we'll begin at verse 29. It's three readings this morning, not too long, but I trust they'll be a blessing to our heart this morning. And the first one found in Matthew chapter 15, and we'll begin at verse 29. Matthew 15, verse 29. God's Word says, "And Jesus departed from thence, and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel." Then come over with me to Luke's Gospel in chapter 8. Luke's Gospel in chapter 8. And we'll begin our reading at verse 26. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. And verse 26, very well known passage of Scripture. "And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of a city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man, and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake, and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man, out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid." And then over for our last reading, our third reading in Luke chapter 10, just over a few pages. Luke chapter 10, another very well-known passage. We'll begin at verse 38. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. "Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Amen. And we do thee trust that the Lord would bless the public reading of his holy word to your hearts this morning. As I said this morning, I want to think upon the subject titled At the Saviour's Feet. And we've read there through those passages, you'll have seen three times when people were at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with the remaining time we have left this morning, I want us to see together three great blessings that we can see from the Lord when we gather at his feet. First thing I want you to see this morning is at the Saviour's feet we see a Saviour who gives purging. A Saviour who gives purging. If you look back to our first reading, Matthew chapter 15, we read there of the Lord Jesus Christ healing the multitude of people with all their problems and diseases. Verse 29 of Matthew 15 that we read says, "And Jesus departed from thence, and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat down there." Here's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's had a big day. If you read back, you'll see that he's just healed the Canaanite woman's daughter, and he's perhaps tired, he's perhaps hungry, he's perhaps ready to call it a day, and he goes up to this mountain and he sits down, trying perhaps to get some rest before setting off again. And all of a sudden, just as he has sat down, up the mountain comes this great crowd of people, this great multitude. And they had no doubt heard of this man Jesus. By now his fame had spread across the villages, across the cities and towns, and they had problems and they knew exactly who could fix them. They knew exactly who to come to, and so they come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the miracle maker. And we read on in verse 30, and we see there a list. If we read on down that list, we have quite the group there. You have the lame, you have the blind, you have the dumb, the maimed, and many others. This was a massive crowd of people, a great multitude of people, and they all had a problem. You know, this morning, folks, as I look down that list of diseases and infirmities, surely it reminds us of what we were like before we were saved. Surely it reminds us of what we were like in our sin. Those of us who are saved this morning, praise God, today we've been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. We have new life in him, life more abundant. But when we look at this list of people in Matthew 15, surely we see what we were before we knew the Lord. I want to take time at this first point this morning to go down this list and look at each one and liken ourselves to these people when we were in our sin. You know, Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, he writes about this too, and he has us look back at what we were. You know, if you are on social media at all, on Instagram or Facebook, you'll have seen a trend go about a couple of months ago where people would take a picture of themselves perhaps from 10 years ago, and then they put beside it a picture of themselves today. And the caption underneath the post would read, "How it was, how it's going. How it was versus how it's going." And when we read Ephesians chapter 2, we see a very how it was, how it's going trend. Turn roughly for a few moments just to Ephesians chapter 2. So we see what Paul has to say about what we were before we came to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And you have ye quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." And listen to this, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love for wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." We see there in our Christian lives, surely this morning, how it was, how it's going. Once we were dead in trespasses and in sins, destined for an eternity in hell, but now we're quickened, made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look down this list together in Matthew chapter 15, this group of people, and see how we can liken ourselves to them. The first of these we see there mentioned is people who... People who were lame. They couldn't walk. Perhaps they were born this way. People are born who can't walk. Perhaps they had a disease. Maybe an accident had occurred and now they could no longer walk. These people were carried to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely when we think of that this morning, surely that's a picture of the sinner today. Surely before we came to the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I were spiritually lame. We couldn't walk with the Lord. We couldn't have a relationship with him. We were unable to walk with him. That sin in our lives that David reminds us of in Psalm 51, we were born in, it separated us from our Creator. We were unable to walk with him. You and I, surely this morning, we were once spiritually lame, unable to have that relationship with God. And surely when we're saved today and we have that relationship with him, how tragic it is, a thought, to think of a life where you couldn't have the Lord Jesus Christ on your side. To think of a life where you have to go through the toils and tribulations alone. There's so many in the world like that today. They don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at the list again. The next is blind. Blind, these people couldn't see. I know how we could look out of our world this morning and we see so many who cannot see the truth of the gospel. So many reject it, so many despise it, so many mock it, and yet it's the truth today. Jesus Christ says in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He was our only refuge, surely he was our only hope, and yet when we look back at our lives before salvation, before we came to Christ, surely we look back and think, how could we not see it? How could we not see the truth? And it's the same in the world today. So many are blinded by sin. So many are taken up with riches and fame and fortune and leaving behind the legacy, and yet they're blind to the very real hell that they're headed into. Friend, in the meeting this morning outside of Christ, do you not see your need of a Saviour this morning? Will you not see his grace and his mercy for you? As we talked to the boys and girls already, he came down from the glory and splendour of heaven. He shed his blood for you. Can you not see the love he had for you? We were spiritually blind, and praise God for that day and hour where he lifted the scales from our eyes, where we finally seen the Lord Jesus Christ for what he is, our only hope, the Saviour of the world. We have the lame, we have the blind, then we see the dumb. These people couldn't speak. They couldn't communicate. And surely, folks, this morning when we think upon that, we were spiritually dumb to our Lord before salvation. The Lord couldn't hear our prayers before we were saved. If you read John 9 and verse 31, we'll not read it for sake of time, but you'll see there that it says, the Lord doesn't hear the prayers of the unrighteous. Friend, in the meeting this morning outside of Christ, if you're not a Christian, God doesn't hear your prayers. The only prayer he'll hear from you is the prayer of repentance. I wonder, will you say that prayer today? I wonder, will you finally come to faith in him today? We were spiritually dumb. And yet this morning, what does the Bible say about those in Christ? It says in 1 Peter 3 and 12 that he hears the prayers of his people. He hears our prayers this morning. Praise God. He hears our prayers. The final infirmity listed on that list is the maimed. That word maimed, it just means wounded or injured with permanent damage. Injured or wounded with permanent damage. Surely that defined us all together when we were in sin. Permanently damaged. No hope. On our way to hell. And yet, praise God, he loved us so much that as we thought of already with the boys and girls, he came to the cross of Calvary and he died there for you and for me. And he made us new creatures in Christ Jesus. What a Saviour we have this morning. I have to move on. We see a Saviour who gives purging. Secondly, see with me a Saviour who gives peace. A Saviour who gives peace. Let's go over to where we were in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, we read there of this demonic of Gadara, this man who was tormented by these demons, a very well known passage of scripture to us. And this man, no doubt this morning, was tempted and tortured for years from these demons. I'm sure he'd become very well known around the town, around the surrounding area. Many have heard of him, of how he lived in the tombs. How he would cry and wail at night, how he would cut himself with stones, and perhaps you could picture maybe in your mind's eye this morning mums and dads taking their children out for walks during the day, and maybe some of the children would go over to where the man stayed and they'd try to explore a little bit, and the parents would scold them and tell them to come back. These people, they all avoided this man at every cost, this demon-possessed man. And nevertheless, this man needed the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely that's another picture of us when we were in our sin this morning, when we were outside of Christ. Surely you and I, we were tormented, we were tortured by our sin. Nothing could satisfy, no satisfaction, no happiness, no peace. We needed the Lord Jesus Christ, just like this man here, possessed by demons. He needed the Lord. Surely you and I needed Christ. This man, he seemed to have no future. He seemed to be stuck in this way of life forever. People knew him as the demonic of Gadara, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ, he steps in. Isn't that amazing this morning? Surely you and I, we were like this man, headed, destined for hell. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, he would show his love on Calvary, where he would die for your sins and for mine. What peace we have in him. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. Thinking of a Savior who gives peace. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. And it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It's not just an amazing piece of scripture this morning, that you and I, who were once afar off, you and I, who Paul tells us in Ephesians, were dead in trespasses and in sins, you and I, we have peace with our God this morning. You and I now have access by faith into his grace. What a blessing that is for God's people this morning. That even in the chaos of life, as we face different trials and tribulations, we have a peace that passes all understanding. I don't know what you're going through this morning. Maybe you're having family problems. Maybe you're struggling financially. Maybe there's a relationship that's not working out the way it should be. Maybe you're finding your walk with the Lord at the moment particularly hard. I don't know. But I tell you this morning, whatever it is, you can have great peace with the Lord Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon once said this. He said, the more the wind rages, the more you feel the anchor holds you. The more the wind rages, the more you feel the anchor holds you. He says here, even through the many troubles of life, even through the many tribulations we face, those hard times, you and I, we have a precious peace that only our Savior can give. What does the hymn say that we know so well? When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, what? It is well. It is well with my soul. Isn't that amazing to be able to say that this morning? It is well with my soul. Can I ask you this morning, can you say that in truth today? Can you say it as well with my soul? There might be some in the meeting this morning have already said. Maybe you come to church every week. Maybe you put the money in the box. Maybe you enjoy singing the hymns. But when it comes to putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not quite there yet. You haven't had that experience in life where you came to him. You're maybe listening to me this morning and you're wondering, why don't I have that peace? It's because you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ. He is peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He died that you might be saved from your sin, that you might have eternal life. Will you not come to him this morning? Put your faith and trust in him and be made whole, and you could claim this peace this morning. John Harper, you may have heard of him. He was a pastor who died during the sinking of the Titanic, and while he was out in those cold, icy waters that night. During the last few moments of his life, he continued to preach the gospel. He was faithful in preaching the gospel, and there was a man who floated nearby him. And John Harper shouted over to the man, and he asked him, "Are you saved? Are you saved?" And the man who had no life jacket on, he replied, "No, not. I'm not." John Harper took off his own life jacket and he gave it to that man. Why? You've maybe heard of that story before, but do you ever think, why? Why would he do that? Because he had a peace in his heart that passed all understanding. He knew that if he was to die, if that was his time to go, he would be absent from the body, present with the Lord. What a faith that is this morning. I wonder if you and I this morning are really bold enough to have a faith like that. To be able to give away a life jacket because we already have a spiritual life jacket, our salvation, sealed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely what peace we can have through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 26 verse 3, one of my favourite verses, if you want to turn to it as well, there's a great blessing found there. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Not amazing this morning? You may be wondering this morning, well, how can I have peace? How can I know this peace? Isaiah tells us there, "Whose mind is stayed on thee." How's your quiet time this morning? Are you spending time in God's Word? Are you seeking to know more about Him each day? How's your prayer life? Speaking to the man in the pulpit too, it's a message for all of us this morning. Are we praying daily? Are you faithful in prayer? Do you uplift the fellowship here to the Lord on a daily basis? Do you uplift your pastor and he needs your prayers too? Are you seeking to have a closer walk with Him? Is your mind stayed on Him? That's how Isaiah says we can have peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. The hymn goes, "Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly freedom, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb." When we seek the Lord, when we read His Word, when we walk with Him daily, we have a peace the world cannot afford. We have a peace they cannot understand. Why? Because it's rooted in the Savior. It's rooted in the precious love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You look around the world today, many are worried. Many are frightened and scared. Worried about the war in Ukraine. Worried about the cost of living crisis. Worried about the government and politics. And yet you and I this morning who are in Christ, you and I who have placed our trust in Him, we have nothing to fear. Nothing to worry about. Why? Because we have a peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 14 and verse 27. Another very well-known verse. You can turn to it with me if you want. John chapter 14 and verse 27 says this. It's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, and He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the word give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Christ is saying here, He gives us a peace that the world cannot give. They have a peace for a while, but then the chaos comes back again. And the worry comes back, and the fear comes back. But for you and I this morning in Christ, we have a peace in God that lasts for all eternity. I think that's an amazing thought this morning. What a blessing to know that we have peace with God, that the Savior's faith. We see a Savior who gives courage, and here at the Savior's feet, we see a Savior who gives peace. Thirdly and finally, quickly this morning, see with me a Savior who gives prudence, or a Savior who gives wisdom. Turn to our last reading there, Luke chapter 10. We read there verse 38, Luke 10 and verse 38, and we see there a Savior who gives prudence. We see there in Luke chapter 10, that very well known passage of Mary and Martha, and they invited the Lord into their home, perhaps an account you learned when you were just a child in Sunday school, and yet there's much also I feel this morning to learn from this little passage. Let's read it again together just to refresh our memory. It says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, or thou art worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Here we have this morning, if you can picture it in your mind's eye, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's invited to Mary and Martha's home. If you can imagine that Martha is running to and fro in and out of the living room, making sure the Lord's comfortable, the kitchen's a bomb site, she's trying to make a meal, trying to get everything together. And to her fury, she walks in, and where's Mary? Mary's sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary is, as we would say, she's got her arms at the same length, not helping, and it angers Martha. She's wondering, why is she sitting there doing nothing, and I'm running right here trying to get everything prepared? She says in verse 40, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone?" She wanted the Lord to tell Mary to help her, to give her a helping hand, instead of sitting there doing nothing. But to Martha's surprise, the Lord doesn't agree. He says in verse 41, "Martha, Martha, thou art worried and troubled, or careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." You see here, the Lord actually blessed Mary for taking the time to sit and to listen to him. And surely that's a challenge, I think, for you and I as Christians in the meeting this morning. I wonder how many times in our lives are we guilty of being busy in the work, so engrossed in the work of the Lord. Maybe we're involved in the children's work. Maybe we're involved in the youth group. Maybe we're on the piano rota. Maybe we're speaking when the pastor wants us to give a word. And yet we're so taken up in the work. We're so busy for the Lord that we forget about the importance of just sitting down and hearing the Lord. You know, our pastor, David Caulfield, used to be with us in Cope. He's now away to Valley Fair. He used to say that he always enjoyed getting a Sunday off because he thought it was a good blessing because he could finally sit down and be ministered to. He'd be up every week as a pastor in the pulpit, and he'd be bringing the messages that the Lord had given him for the congregation. But when he finally had the chance to just sit down in the congregation and be ministered to, he said it was a great blessing. He could sit there and he could hear the word of the Lord. So often we can be taken up with the work like Martha is here, not giving ourselves 2 seconds to think. Sometimes we feel if we're not doing anything, then we're not doing any work for the Lord. Like Martha is here, but Mary has, as the Lord says, chosen that good part. Mary had chosen to sit at the feet of the Savior and to listen to his word. And what does she find there? She finds prudence. She finds wisdom in the word of the Lord. What does Psalm 1 say? If you want to turn with me to Psalm 1. Psalm 1 and the first 2 verses, very well known verses, says, "As blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Listen to this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. The psalmist says, blessed is the man who spends time meditating on the word of God. If you turn with me to 2 Timothy, we'll have another verse from Paul. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 15, and he encourages him in a similar way to Psalm 1, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. We all know it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul encourages Timothy here many times to, we've heard many times that Paul encourages Timothy to be up and doing. If you think of those letters to Timothy, Paul said to him, stir up the gift of God within thee. He wanted him to be up and doing for the Lord, but this time Paul says to him in verse 15, study the word. Spend time in the word of God. Get in the word. You know, I remember when I first started preaching, believe it or not, I didn't choose to do it. It's just my dad who gets me into it every time. But I went for the first time to preach in Ballyclare Baptist. And I went there, and the service was finished, so I went down to the door to shake hands and to greet everybody farewell. And there was a man who came up, and he shook my hand, and he said something to me, and I haven't forgotten since. And he said these words, he says, get in the book. Get in the book. I wonder, are you and I in greetings this morning, are we getting in the book? Are we surrounding ourselves with the scriptures? Do you know more about the Lord today than you did yesterday? We ought to take the time to sit and to hear the word of God like Mary did here. Someone has said, the Bible is the only book whose author is always present when one reads it. The Bible is the only book whose author is always present when one reads it. I think that's amazing this morning. You and I, we read the scriptures and the Lord is present with us. The Holy Spirit, He is ready and He's willing to help us to interpret the word for us. What a blessing that is this morning. Another says, God speaks to those who take time to listen, and listens to those who take time to pray. God speaks to those who take time to listen, and listens to those who take time to pray. Yes, we can be busy in the work, we can be involved in the work of God, but are we reading His Word? Are we listening for His voice? And are we praying with the expectation? Are we praying with that expectation and faith that He will hear? The Lord says to Martha in verse 41, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. The Lord says Martha was worried and troubled about many things. She was taken up with what she had to do. It had completely encapsulated her mind. I wonder if there's one like that in the meeting this morning. Maybe you're involved in the work. Maybe you're doing all you can, volunteering where you can. And maybe it's building up a bit, it's getting a bit stressful, it's getting a bit hard. And maybe you feel like throwing in the towel this morning. Well, the Lord says in verse 42, one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good thing, to sit at the feet of Jesus and to hear His word. Can I encourage you this morning, believer, in the work of God, keep going for the Lord. The work will not be in vain when it's done for Him. When it's done for His glory and for His honour, it will not be in vain. He has promised to bless it. But folks, this morning, take time aside every now and again and read the Word of God. Come before the throne of grace and seek the face of the Saviour. You'll find great blessing and encouragement there. Charles Spurgeon said, visit many books, but live in the Bible. Visit many books, but live in the Bible. I wonder, are you living in His Word today? Like Mary, are you sitting at the Savior's feet daily? Are you seeking His face? Are you seeking His will? Are you seeking His prudence and His wisdom? I trust we are in our walk with Him. We see at the Savior's feet a Savior who gives prudence, wisdom. I trust we're taking the time to listen this morning. My time's pretty much gone, but I trust this morning that we've seen those three great lessons that we can take away from these three groups of people who are gathered at the Savior's feet. What do we find at the Savior's feet this morning? We find a Savior who gives purging, or eternal cleansing from sin. We find a Savior who gives peace, one that passes all understanding. Praise God this morning, we find a Savior who gives prudence, gives wisdom and encouragement in His Word. I trust these few thoughts this morning have been a blessing to our hearts today.